5 this morning, Luke chapter number 5. Finding your place, the choir is coming down to join you. I remind you that Luke is the book in the New Testament that we're traveling through together. And this is what we're doing, what we call patchwork through the Gospels. I've preached through Matthew. Whatever Matthew dealt with, if Mark and Luke and John dealt with it, I preached it all together in one message. So now we've moved into Mark, preached through that. Now we're into Luke, and we're picking out passages in Luke that neither Matthew nor Mark had dealt with. It's kind of isolated here in Luke. Of course, some of these, John may deal with it, but this is the patchwork we've been doing through the book of Luke. Luke chapter 5, we'll begin our reading in verse number 1. Luke chapter 5 and verse number 1. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. They beckoned unto their partners which were in the other ship that they should come and help them. They came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and at all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. So was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. I want to preach to you this morning on this subject, a fishing trip to remember. A fishing trip to remember. Let's pray together. I'll share this thought. Father, we love you and thank you for this day. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the word of God that we have with us. And I pray that as I stand behind this pulpit, I pray that my heart is clean. Forgive my sin. Help me to be clean before you. I pray that you'll strengthen my body and help me, Lord God, to be faithful to you and your word. Would you hide me behind the cross? And Holy Spirit, do your office work today. Somebody lost, save them. And we who are saved, would you challenge us from your word? Convict us where we need to be convicted. Change us where we need to be changed. Comfort those that need to be comforted. We give you glory today and honor. Bless now, I pray. Bless the program tonight. Bless what was done last night. And those who heard the program, would you speak to them, I pray, even now. In Jesus' name. Amen. In the story before us, we see the Lord Jesus standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He's got people pressing upon him to hear the word of God. Now, there were two ships there with the fishermen out of them washing their nets. Jesus entered into one of the ships, it was Simon Peter's ship, and asked him to thrust out a little from the land. And while he was on the ship, and they had thrust out just a little bit from that ship, he's teaching the people. Now, after the Lord finished teaching these people, he turned to Peter and told him, he said, launch out and let down for a draught of fishes. Peter proceeded to tell the Lord that they had toiled all night and had caught absolutely nothing. However, Peter said, at thy word, I will. And let me say this to you, that's a great motto for life. At thy word, I will. And this is what he said. And when he did this and he obeyed the Lord's will and the Lord's word, the Bible says that they caught enough fish that day that it took both ships to carry the fish to land. And even then the boats began to sink. Now, may I say that this truly was a fishing trip to remember. No doubt those involved in this fishing trip that particular day didn't soon forget that day. However, this trip was not only one to remember for those involved, it's also a fishing trip for all of us to remember today. As a matter of fact, as I study this passage here, the Lord gave me several lessons just some applicable lessons to our life, just to take home with us today. And I want you to ask the Lord to speak to your heart. May I remind you that any time the Word of God is open, the voice of God is being spoken. I'm not saying in an audible voice, but I'm saying these are not my words, these are the words of God. And when God speaks, we ought to be willing to sit up and listen and say, whatever you say, my answer is already yes. Because this is not man's word, it's God's word. Now this being the case, let me give you some lessons to take home from you. There's six of them, I believe. Relax now, okay? Six lessons to take home with you today as you dwell on this fishing trip in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. First of all, here's the first lesson to take home. All things are possible when Jesus Christ is on board. All things are possible when Jesus Christ is on board. May I remind you that these disciples, that the Lord gets on their ship and tells them to launch out and let down, they had already been out all night. They had toiled all night long, and Peter even said, we've toiled all night and taken nothing. But there's something different about his boat here. And what's different is now the Lord Jesus Christ is on board. And when the Lord Jesus Christ is on board in a person's boat, a person's life, there's absolutely nothing he cannot do. Nothing. Amen. Nothing he cannot do. I'm telling you that when Jesus Christ is on board in your life, whatever you spend your life trying to do, and there's no help. It seems like nothing's going to take place. When Jesus comes on board and he tells you to launch out and let down, when you obey the word of God, the presence of God makes all the difference, is what I'm saying. Genesis 18:14, is anything too hard for the Lord? Matthew 19:26, with God all things are possible. May I say this to you? I don't know what your need is right now, but I do know that if Jesus is on board in your life, there's nothing too hard for your God. Nothing. You say you don't understand what I'm going through. That's what I said. I don't understand what you're going through. But I understand this. There's nothing that's more powerful than Jesus Christ. And if he's on board in your life, it makes all things possible. So let me ask you a question before I move on. Is he on board in your life? Has there been a time in your life where you've trusted Christ and Christ alone? I just finished reading a little book. It's called Done, D-O-N-E. I really like this. I'm getting used to this right here. That's what you're hoping, is that I get used to it, so when they take it away, I have a memory lapse and I walk off. That's what you're hoping and praying for. Now, what was I saying before you interrupted me? Here's what I'm saying. If Jesus Christ is on board, everything's going to be okay. How do you get him on board? Well, do you do everything you can? You get baptized, you turn over a new leaf. Hey, you're doing the best you possibly can. May I tell you, the best you possibly can, Isaiah tells us, are filthy rags in the sight of God. God says if you're relying on your good works, on these good things that you do, God says if that's what you're relying to get you from earth to heaven, they don't do anything but make me sick. The good things, the righteous things, not the bad things. And may I tell you this, that God is a perfect God. Heaven is a perfect place. And Revelation says he'll not let one thing, not one thing, enter heaven to defile it. And may I remind you, one sin would defile heaven. Just one. And if you ever make it from earth to glory, it'll be because you've trusted Christ who died in your place. And you invite him into your heart. I'm saying that you trust the Lord and the Lord only. And you ask him to come in your heart and forgive your sin. At that moment, Jesus Christ, are you listening to me? In the person of the Holy Spirit moves inside. Can I say it this way? He comes on board. And when he comes on board in your life, there's nothing impossible with Jesus on board. Let me give you a second lesson. Number two, we must follow God's word to see God's power. Let me say it again. We must follow God's word to see God's power. This is in verses 4 through 7. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep. let down your nets for a draught. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all night, taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. Question. Why did they see so many fish coming into their nets? How did they see the power of God that day? You know how they saw it? They obeyed his word. Can I say something to you here? May I say something to you? There are folks today, and there's a lot of people who get trapped in this. I may have even got trapped in this before, but they think to themselves that God is a miracle-working God and so on, and he can do anything he wants to do, which is all true. It's all true. And they've got an impossible, seeming impossible situation in their life, and they think to themselves, well, it's going to happen like that. I remind you that God never performs miracles where his word is disrespected. If you are not obeying the word of God, you're not going to see the power of God. But if you obey the word of God, God will manifest his power. They saw this miracle when they obeyed the command, launch out and let down. I'm simply trying to say this. Luke 6:46, Jesus said, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? The Bible says in Luke 11:28, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. All I'm trying to get across under this second point here is we will not see God's power if we're not living in obedience to the word of God. Obedience brings blessing. If you obey the Lord, he'll move heaven and earth every now and then just to keep showing you, I'm still here. But only if you live in obedience to his will and to his word. My own testimony is a picture of this. I'm simply just trying to say that when you go God's way, God steps in your life and he takes care of you, is what I'm trying to say. When you obey God, he'll move heaven, earth, hell, the devil, and every demon to make sure that he takes care of you and that he meets your needs in your life and he can perform miracles in your life if you're living in obedience to the word of God. You know some of the greatest advice I, as the pastor of this church, can give to this church? It's this. Read the Bible and do what it says. You say, that's easy, it's ridiculous. I know it, but have you been doing it this week? Have you been obeying it this week? See, too many people fall into this hocus-pocus stuff. They're waiting on God to send an angel like he did some 2,000 years ago. Boy, I'll tell you one thing. If I just saw one of them angels, I'd do anything he told me to do. No, you wouldn't. Not if you have the revealed word of God and you're not listening to that. You'd think that's something that, hey, if he sent an angel to you, you'd think it's that pizza you had right before you went to bed. What am I saying to you? It probably would be that pizza that you write, you know, and so on. Learn this lesson. You see God's power when you obey God's word. Learn that lesson. We see that from this story. Let me give you a third lesson. Number one, all things are possible with Jesus on board. Number two, we must follow God's word to see God's power. Number three, when we stop, God may only be getting started. Let me say that again. When we stop, God may only be getting started. Because we see this in verses 2 through 6. I'm not going to read it again because I've read it already here. But these fishermen, Simon Peter and the other disciples, they have toiled all night. They have taken nothing. No doubt they were tired. They were exhausted. Maybe they were even frustrated. Now they were on the shore. They had so-called waved the white flag. They had thrown in the towel for the night. They are now washing their nets. They had stopped for the day. This is the time when Jesus said, go back out. This is the time when Jesus said, keep going, don't quit. This is the time when Jesus said, you're at the end of your own strength. You're exhausted. You're tired. You think it's over with. I'm telling you, now I can work. You say, what am I saying here? I'm saying this. Their expectation and energy had been exhausted. They had tried it in their own strength. They had taken nothing. They had quit. They had stopped. They were, if you will, frustrated, exhausted, tired, and thinking that the fish just aren't biting today. But the Lord Jesus Christ is going to teach them a great lesson. He is teaching them, when you don't feel like doing it, do it anyway. And go out and understand that when you have come to the end of yourself, when you have come to the end of your strength, you've been toiling all night, you've taken nothing. I'm saying you're exhausted, you're tired, you're worn out, you're frustrated. At that time, hear Jesus Christ say, good, now I can work. Amen. I'm telling you that this is a point that we need to understand, that when the going gets tough, don't quit on God. Keep going God's way, because His strength is made perfect in our weakness. The Bible says in Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. 2 Corinthians 12:9, and He, God, said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Let me ask you a question. Spiritually speaking, is there something in your life that you have tried and tried and tried and tried and tried and toiled and toiled and toiled and toiled and you've taken nothing? You say, what's the point? The point is this. When you feel like quitting, go to the Word of God, and what God tells you to do, do it anyway. Don't quit on God, and realize that when you finally say, I'm done, I'm finished, it's over with, I'm going to take one of these cotton balls. This cotton ball represents your life, what you're dealing with, what you're struggling with. You've sought God and sought God. By the way, it's amazing how God has me right where I need to be. I'm talking about there's something that you're struggling with, something you don't know how to get victory over, all these kind of things. You've toiled, you've toiled, you've toiled, you've toiled, and you finally say, I'm finished. I'm done. What's the use? At that time, Jesus said, Simon, let's go back out. Let's launch out, let your net down, you'll catch a draw. Simon didn't really understand that. Simon Peter said, Lord, we've toiled all night, we've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will. And when he did that, they caught a great draught of fish. Is there something you've thrown in the towel on? Is there something you've exhausted your strength in? Is there something that you just say, what's the use? I'm telling you that maybe God has brought you there himself. Maybe God's brought you to that point. To the point where you realize, no matter how hard I try, I can't. Applicable, isn't it? What are you going to do with it? Realize, keep your own strength down here, but listen to the promise of God and keep on going for the glory of God, because when you stop, God may only be getting started. Let me give you another lesson. Another lesson here. I'm doing good. I'm halfway done here, friends. I know what you're saying. Lord, pour it on him. He's going 60 miles an hour. Help him go 100 here, you know? Yeah. You can put that woo back. I just don't think my speedometer goes to 100, you know what I mean? Some of you think it does, though, don't you, right? Let me give you a fourth lesson here. These are just lessons. These are just points of application, how the Lord spoke to me. Nothing's impossible, Jesus on board. You want to see God's power? Got to obey His word. When you stop, you quit, you realize that it's over with, you're at the end of yourself, God may just be getting started. Number four, a clear vision of God gives a clear vision of self. Let me say this again. A clear vision of God gives a clear vision of self. Let me show you what I mean. Look at verse number 8. After all this happened, the boats began to sink and everything else. Notice what happened with Simon. Simon Peter saw it. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me. I am a sinful man, O Lord." Do you hear his brokenness here? Do you see his brokenness before God? By the way, is he telling the truth about himself? Is he a sinful man? Was he? Absolutely. You know what's hard for human beings to say? I have sinned. I'm a sinner. I'm not good. I'm bad. It's hard for human beings to admit that. That's why a lot of human beings are not saved. Here's what I'm saying to you. It's interesting. When he talked to the Lord Jesus, how did he identify the Lord in verse number 5? Simon answered and said unto him, "Master, teacher." Okay? But yet when he saw the mighty workings of God, and he saw God on his boat and what he did, he didn't call him master in verse 8. He called him Lord. See, Peter got a clear vision of God. And notice his response was not, "Look at me." His response immediately when he saw God, his response immediately was, "Get away from me. I don't deserve this. I'm a sinful man, Lord. You're holy. I'm not." You see his spirit? You may tell you why there's so much pride in the world, even among God's children. Because God's children do not spend enough time in the presence of God. When you go to God and His presence, you will not come out arrogant and proud. You will come out humble and dependent upon God who's been so good to you. Matter of fact, Peter was not the only one that this happened to. Don't turn to it. Just let me turn to it. But in Isaiah chapter 6, it happened to Isaiah too. Here's what he said. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke." Now, let him paint this picture to you. He said, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. I saw him, and his train was filling the temple, and he was sitting upon a throne. And he said, above it, the throne, stood the seraphims. And the seraphims had 6 wings. With 2 of their wings, they covered their face because they're in the presence of God. They can't look at him. He's so holy. 2 of their wings, they cover their feet, and 2 of their wings, they're flying. And they're saying one thing over and over again, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The earth is full of his glory." And he said, "The post of the door moved at the voice, and the house was filled with smoke. Verse 5, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. When Isaiah saw the Lord and saw them seraphims and heard what they said and saw the smoke and all of this, he said, woe is me. You turn your TV on anytime during the day, watch a sports program or watch some kind of other program, and you see the arrogance coming across the TV screen. And I show you that it's because that person has not seen God for who He is. God is not impressed with me. When I come into God's presence, I come on behalf of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But God doesn't look at this flesh and say, boy, what a man he is. It is such an honor to have you, Jody, to come to me. It's not that at all. But what an honor and privilege it is that He's invited me to come to Him. And when I see God, I see me. So put your life under the spiritual microscope. Are you humble or are you proud? By the way, if you're sitting there saying, well, I'm not proud, you probably just answered my own question here. You see what I'm saying? I'm saying to you that when Peter saw God, he saw himself. Let me give you a fifth lesson here. Number five. There's only six, I think. Yeah, six. Number five. Light obeyed increases light. Light obeyed increases light. Now, what I mean by light is what God reveals. If you obey what God reveals, He'll reveal more to you. For instance, Peter obeyed the light he had from God, launch out and let down. That's all he had. He had God's word. You launch out and let down, and there's going to be a great draw to fishes. But what I'm saying to you is when Peter obeyed the light he had, God gave him more light. Because he ends this passage by saying this, fear not, from now on you'll catch men. See where I'm going with this? He said, go out and catch fish. That's the light God gave him. That's all the light he had right there. So he obeyed that light. And when he obeyed that light and God proved himself to him, he said, now let me give you something else. Can I say this to you? This is how God's will works. God's will, get this, friends, is always present. Did you hear what I said? God's will is not future. God's will is present. You say, wait a minute, what is God going to have me do? I thought that's the will of God. God said, boast not yourself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. God's will is not future. God's will is now. Present. Can I say this to you? God's will is also progressive. What do I mean by that? I'm saying this. God has made life in such a way. I'm talking about the unknown things. I'm not talking about the known will of God. I'm talking about the unknown things. Young people, who am I going to marry? When am I going to go to school? What house am I going to build? What kind of a job am I going to get? The unknown things. In other words, things that you can't find scripture and verse for. You know how you find those things? You go back and do the things you already know to be true. The light He's given you, keep doing that. And then when He's ready to show you, He'll show you. It's the same thing He did with Elijah. I've given this story so many times, it's ridiculous. Let me just paraphrase it. There's a great drought going, and God told Elijah, go to the brook Cherith. You go there, you can drink of the brook, and I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. You know what that means? That means God had already given them their flight orders. And they were going to go to the brook Cherith with food for Elijah. But if Elijah did not go there, he would have never seen the ravens bring him bread and flesh. But Elijah obeyed and went to the brook Cherith. God proved himself to him there. That no matter what's going on, God can take care of him, even if he sends the birds to do it. Then the brook dried up. Then God said, go to Zarephath. I've got a widow woman there to sustain thee. And if you know that story, that widow and her son, he ends up raising her son and so on. He provides meal for them and all these different kind of things. He provides meal for them. That's what he did. He provided meal for them. And God used him to reach that widow and her boy. But he had to go to Cherith first to find out about Zarephath. If he did not go to Cherith, he would have not have known about Zarephath. When he obeyed the light God gave him more light. Some people may say, how do I know what God wants me to do here? What am I supposed to do here? What am I supposed to do here? And I stop and ask, are you reading the Bible every day? Are you praying every day? Are you faithful to church? Are you telling people about Jesus Christ? What am I doing? I'm pointing back to the light that they already have. Are they obeying that light? Because if they're not obeying that light, they're never going to know what the unknown light is. You've got to obey the light you have, and then God increases light. Makes sense what I'm saying? This is number five. Let me give you the sixth and final thing here. These are just six thoughts here now. Number one, all things are possible with Jesus on board. Number two, we must follow God's word to see God's power. Number three, when we stop, God may only be getting started. Number four, a clear vision of God gives a clear vision of self. Number five, light obeyed increases light. And number six, we should be fishing for men. We should be fishing for men. This means we should be soul winning. We should be telling others about Jesus Christ. The Lord shared his desire with Peter when he said, thou shalt catch men. By the way, we have a lot of ministries here in this church. If you wonder what they are, there's a ministry wall out here to my right, right there. Above it, it has laborers together with God. There's a corresponding sheet that goes with it. And those are the ministries that we have going. Some of them are not going yet, but most of those are up and running. If you have an interest to help us, every one of those ministries, every one of them, every one of them. Shut-in ministry? Absolutely. Nursing home ministry? Absolutely. Choir? Absolutely. You say, wait a minute, you're trying to reach people, hey, you're trying to win people to Christ in the choir? What do you think the music program's about, friends? And by the way, excuse me now, hope we don't lose any choir members. Hold your breath, Brother Gary. But if a choir member's not knocking on doors, they're not telling their faith, they have no business singing up here. Awful quiet right there. If we have a deacon that's not soul winning, he has no right to be a deacon. If we have ushers who come and usher, but they do not share their faith, they need to step down from the usher booth right now. You say, Joey, what are we going to do if they step down? I don't know. I hope they don't. Praise God. By the way, you say, Jody, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to say this. This is not an option, friends. It's an obligation. Aren't you glad somebody told you the truth? Is it God's will for God's children to tell others about Christ, yes or no? Absolutely. Who said that? Me? No, God did. And all I'm saying to you is that it's God's will for God's children to go fishing. Go fishing. You know what all these ministries are? Just hooks in the water. We're trying to catch men. That's all we're trying to do. We're just trying to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the way, if you are an usher or a deacon or a choir member, those are just three that came to me. That's every ministry. But if you are one of those and you're not witnessing, I don't know about that. And if you're not, let me encourage you to do something. Don't get upset with what I said and step down. See the truth of what I said and start this week telling people about Jesus Christ. You see the difference? You see the difference? We need to tell others about Jesus Christ. This is why we're here. Matthew chapter 4 teaches the same thing. Matthew chapter 28 teaches the same thing. I'm telling you that it's God's will for us to tell others about Jesus Christ. By the way, where should we start? We start at home. Some of the hardest people for people to witness to are their own relatives. No question about it. If you have a relative, a family member, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because I don't want to embarrass somebody, but if you have a relative, a family member that you're concerned about, I know that's some of the hardest people to witness to. My mom and dad are here today, and my mom's dad, Papaw Bill Sales. Say I look like him a little bit, work like him some, busy bee and all these kind of things. 72 years old, he had cancer. God burdened my heart to go see my granddaddy. I went by and he was sitting in his recliner. Still remember this. I forget a lot of things. I really do. Like, what's your name? No, I'm just kidding with you. I'm just joking there. But I went by to see him, and he was sitting in his recliner where he would basically sit a lot, a long time. And I got down on a knee right in front of my granddaddy, and I pleaded with him to trust Jesus as his Savior. That day, even though I think others had talked to him, but that day when his grandson knelt before him, my granddaddy bowed his head and asked Jesus Christ to come into his heart. It was a glorious day. Glorious day. 72 hours later, he died. He was 72 years old, and I tell folks he lived 72 years without God, 72 hours with him, and if he meant what he prayed, he's kicking up gold dust with the angels. But can I say this to you? That was not easy for me to do that. My granddaddy. Hard, isn't it? Be honest. But can I encourage you to do something? Look beyond your own fear. See the command of God, number one. But see where they're going if you don't tell them. If somebody doesn't tell them, according to the Word of God, they're going to burn in hell. You say God would send somebody to hell? No, God never sent anybody there. They send themselves when they reject the gift of God that He made available so they don't have to go there. You know what I was thinking about last night, Brother Gary, with this program? I was thinking God was born once so we could be born again. Think about that. God became flesh one time so that flesh could be born again and live with God for eternity. What a message we have. Are we spreading it? So let me rewind a little bit. Don't ever take what I say as, I need to step down. No. You're missing my heartbeat there. My heartbeat is not, you need to step down. No, my heartbeat is this. If you're not soul winning, start. Please. Please. Why? Because there are folks in your sphere of influence, your circle, your bubble, that if you don't reach them, they may never be reached. Do you understand what I mean there? Some of you work jobs, they may never come here, but they have you there with them. Share the gospel. My burden for this coming year, I'm about done here, but my burden for this coming year is that our church, on a consistent basis, has folks in our membership who they've led people to Christ, and during the services, they are bringing people to the altar that they visited them, they went there, they're their co-worker, and they trusted Christ as a result of that church member's testimony and witness to them, and now that church member's walking the aisle saying, I witnessed to them, and they said yes to the gospel. That's the will of God, friends. Let's get involved in it. Let me go back over these, and I'm done, okay? Number one, all things are possible when Jesus is on board. Number two, we must follow God's word to see God's power. Number three, when we stop, God may only be getting started. Number four, a clear vision of God gives a clear vision of self. Number five, light obeyed increases light. And number six, we should be fishing for men. If you're not, start today. Take gospel tracts with you. Invite people to church. Invite people to Christ. Ask them if they know the Lord as their Savior. Now, as you can see, this truly is and was a fishing trip to remember. Not only for them, but also for us. And these lessons, let us apply them to our hearts. So I ask you these questions. Miss Carol, if you'll come ahead and come here to the piano, just begin to play through softly. Let me ask you this question. Before I even have you bow your head, let me ask you these questions. You just begin to play through something softly as soon as you get prepared. What is your need? What need do you have? Your need today may be salvation. All you've got to do is invite Jesus to come on board, and He will. Your need today may be, hey, I'm saved. I know the Lord lives in me. He's on board already. But I've got a great need. My advice to you is realize there's nothing impossible with Jesus on board. Nothing. Just give it to Him. Secondly, are you following His word? You will not see His power if you're not following His word. Question number three, are you washing your nets? Have you stopped? Have you quit something? It might be a marriage problem. It might be a personal problem, whatever. But in that, you decide, I'm done. I'm at the end of my rope. I'm finished. I'm at my wit's end. And you've left the sea, and you've come, and you've drug your nets that were made for the sea to shore, and now you're washing your nets out. Said, I'm finished. I'm telling you, it's times like that when God can work. When you stop, God may only be getting started. Have you seen God high and lifted up? You'll see when you see Him for who He is. You'll see yourself. Let me ask you this, are you obeying the light you have now? If there's some unknown thing out there that you're wondering, God, what do you want me to do? And you have a desire to do what God wants you to do. You're not bucking up against it. You really want God's will. But yet God says, wait a minute, before I show you that, you need to start this. I've already told you this. See what I'm saying? Or maybe today God's speaking to you about just faithfully telling others about Christ. I hope you see my heart. Sometimes I'm so strong about it that I come across wrong. So if I came across wrong a minute ago, forgive me. I'm not trying to come across wrong. But in your heart, you've got to know that you telling others about Christ, that is the will of God for your life. Do you see that? You've got to see that. That's the will of God. And all I'm saying is, let's obey the word. God blesses obedience. You know what some of you need to do? That family member that you're thinking of right now, bring him to the altar. You say, they're not here. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about in your prayers, bring him to the altar. Talk to God. I don't know how God uses a message like this, but I know He's using it somehow. May the Lord help you. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Father, take these thoughts and use them. If somebody's here who needs to be saved, I pray you save them. If somebody's here who just needs to obey the light they already have, help them to obey that light. If somebody's here who's not being a witness but they know they should be, Lord, help them to begin today. Somebody has a family member that they need to bring to Christ, help them to come today. Whatever, help us, Lord. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Some have already responded. As Brother Gary sings, if God is speaking to you, maybe about your soul, you're not sure about salvation, whatever it is, as Brother Gary sings, you come. Would you do that? Come
on. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will.
Softly, you can look this way if you're standing there or seated. I want you to please understand my heart. I don't look at this as something you take or leave. This is serious. We must tell people the gospel. We've got to tell them the gospel. That's all I'm saying. And the more people we have telling, the more opportunity we have to see people saved. May the Lord help us with this. Look at us. There's still time for you. Amen. There are folks praying. This is Joseph McClellan. Joseph, you rode on bus number one today. How old are you, Joseph? 13 years old. And today, Joseph, you are making known that you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Is that correct? You got saved today. Am I right by saying that? Outstanding. Have you happy for him? Say a big amen. Isn't that great? Comes on the bus in Bus Youth Church, I guess, over there, right? Junior Church. Great, great, great. In Junior Church over there, God bless you. We're so happy for you. We've got a little program that I've written that we want you to go through. We'll help you with this. We're glad you're here. God bless you. Thank you so much for this decision. Greatest decision you'll ever make. No question about it. No question about it. Absolutely. Praise the Lord for it. This is Mark and Lisa Harbin. We've sat down and met with them. They've been visiting the church for a while, and they have a desire to join our church. They have been saved. They've been scripturally immersed. They've been coming here for a while, and God has led them here. And we're so thrilled to have you. God bless you. And they're coming by statement, by letter, coming by letter from Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church. And we're excited to have you in our membership. God bless you. What's the pleasure of the church that we receive them by letter? Brother Steve, Brother Mark, all in favor say aye and raise your hand high. Any opposed, same sign. So carry, you are now official members. And we're so thrilled about that. I'm glad you're on my side, you know what I mean? But let's keep it that way, you know. That is wonderful. Get in here and help us now, you know. You've already been doing that, and I appreciate that so much. God bless you. Hope you understand the message, friends. Please, let's do something for God. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. I pray you'll bless now. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're a guest and you filled out one of those visitor's cards, please take it out through the lobby. Drop it off at the Welcome Center. We got a special gift for you there, okay?